Om Shri Sai Ram. Surrendering myself at his lotus feet and to his divine mission, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual epicenter of the universe. Thank you so very much, dear sisters and brothers, for tuning in to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you live in real time from the ashram of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, where the time right now is exactly 41 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Today is Thursday, the 30th of November 2017, and I welcome you to the show, which I would like to begin with the prayer of surrender. And this may just be what each of us needs to hear and reflect upon right now. So please, dear sisters and brothers, join me in embracing this prayer, and it goes something like this. Why get agitated? Let me take care of all your business. I shall be the one who will think about them. I am waiting for nothing else than your surrender to me. And then you do not have to worry any more about anything. Say farewell to all fears and discouragement. You demonstrate that you do not trust me. On the contrary, you must rely blindly on me. To surrender means to turn your thoughts away from troubles, to turn them away from difficulties that you encounter and from all your problems. Leave everything in my hands, saying, Lord, thy will be done. Thou think of it. That is to say, Lord, I thank you for you have taken everything into your hands and you will resolve this for my highest good. Remember that thinking of the consequences of a thing is contrary to surrender. That is to say, when you worry that a situation has not had the desired outcome, you demonstrate that you do not believe in my love for you. You prove that you do not consider your life to be under my control and that nothing escapes me. Never think, how is this going to end? What is going to happen? If you give in to this temptation, you again demonstrate that you do not trust me. Do you want me to deal with it? Yes or no? Then you must stop being anxious about it. I shall guide you only if you completely surrender to me. And when I must lead you on a different path than the one that you expect, I carry you in my arms. What seriously upsets you is your reasoning, your worrying, your obsession, and your will to provide for yourself at any price. I can do so many things when the being, in his or her material necessities and spiritual wants, turns to me saying, you think of it, and then closes the eyes and rests quietly. You will receive a lot, but only when your prayers rely fully upon me. You pray to me when in pain so that I intervene, but in the way you desire it. You do not rely on me, but you want me to adjust to your request. Don't behave like a sick one who asks for a treatment from the doctor, all the time suggesting it to him. Do not do that, but rather, even in sad circumstances, say, Lord, I praise and thank you for this problem, for this necessity. I pray you to arrange things as you please for this terrestrial temporal life. You know very well what is best for me. Sometimes you feel that disasters increase instead of diminish. Do not get agitated. Close your eyes and tell me with faith, thy will be done. You think of it. And when you speak thus, I accomplish a miracle when necessary. I think of it only when you trust me totally. I always think of you, but I can help you completely only when you rely fully on me. Unquote. That was the prayer of surrender. It has the power to heal us, to comfort us, and to relieve us of any worries or stress. Let us, dear listeners, please take it to heart and surrender to the Lord everything that we are going through right now. Just tell him, Swami, I don't know anything. You take care, please. And trust me, it works. It is one of my life mantras. With that, it is now time for me to share the current weather conditions in the Divine Valley. It was a cloudy morning when I came into the studio and the current temperature is 25 degrees Celsius in Prashanthi Nilayam. The day ahead, according to the Met Department, looks like a mix of sun and cloud with a daytime high of 30, overnight low of 18 degrees Celsius. The air is clear and crisp with no significant humidity and, of course, always zero air pollution. So that makes our Prashanthi Nilayam an ideal place to breathe deeply and let go of your worries, your stress and your allergens. Traffic this morning in downtown Puttaparthi was smooth with no major hiccups. And yes, parking is readily available once again inside the ashram now that the birthday crowds have started to subside. Although I must admit that we are still processing the surging crowds that we witnessed here over the 92nd birthday celebrations last week. Last Thursday when I came to the studio, I really had to wade my way against this tide of humanity, this flow of humanity that was coming into me, and it was better to walk rather than drive because driving was impossible. All roads were jam-packed, so I had to meander my way through every nook and corner to get to the studio in time to start Morning Glory, which anyway began late. On November 23rd, that is last Thursday, believe it or not, we received so many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people for the 24 hours leading to the big day. And it had this huge deja vu factor because the crowds were as big, if not bigger, than the 85th birthday, the last birthday that Bhagwan celebrated with us in the physical form. Everybody and anybody wanted to join Prashanthi Nilayam for the celebrations. And as always, as Bhagwan used to say, no invitations were sent out, no cards were published, nobody was invited, nobody was given a bonus and any temptation. It was this surge of devotion and love that his devotees have for him. This place has the magnet, the holiest of shrines on the face of this planet. It just drew people in large numbers. Those of us who live here, I cannot tell you how many faces we saw. We don't even know, you know, sometimes whether we knew this person or not. There were faces and people everywhere from the back, the culvert gate all the way to the Ganesha gate and the Gopuram gate. Packed with people. It was one, and everything was yet orderly, safe, smooth, no mishaps. His grace was flowing in everything that was happening here. And everything was grand. The programs were grand. The mandir decorations were spectacular. This place looked magical. And one of my favorites was the delicious free food that Swami gave us for the entire week leading to his birthday. And what struck me was the patience and happiness with which devotees from all parts of the world waited quietly. The lineup on each side, the gents and ladies, was up to half a kilometer long, and they waited to receive their prasadam, which was served to them with a lot of love. Sumptuous meals, delicious curries, great rotis, wonderful pulavs. Every day we enjoyed a great meal. And obviously the celebrations have left everyone's cup of joy overflowing. And now people are so curious to know if this was the 92nd birthday, what is going to happen over the next three years leading to the big 95th in 2020. And, you know, seeing the way things are, the Veda conference, the inauguration of the archive, the movement is gathering such traction. Nobody had ever forecasted this. So it's only going to get bigger and better. And I suggest everybody right now, when you buy your new calendar for 2018, mark the week of Bhagwan's birthday as your date to come home to Prashanthi Nilayam. And on that celebratory note, I would like to bring you today the next episode of our continuing series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, with Sri Siddharth Bhatt. I apologize, I could not play that interview last week because the Mandir program ended so late, so I didn't have time on the segment. And today I'm very delighted to continue this engrossing and engaging conversation, which is hosted by my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti of Radio Sai. So please enjoy the show and do not forget to send us your feedback by email. Our email ID remains listener@radiosai.org. And after this interview, I have lined up all your favorite musical pieces from our audio specials, including the Patha Mandir Aarti. So do not go anywhere and please stay with us for the entire day. And I pray to Swami to keep reminding us of the need to surrender to Him and hand over everything and anything that is stressing us out at His lotus feet and trust Him to handle it the way he thinks is best. And may you have a wonderful, awesome day ahead. Thank you, dear sisters and brothers. Please enjoy the show and Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, Brother Siddharth Pat, and welcome once again to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Sai Ram.
So in the last session that we had, you began by talking about your journey to the lotus feet, the intense desire that you had to become a student, and the dramatic manner in which you became a student, the way Bhagwan ensured that even as you became a student, some of the lessons that are paramount for any Sai student to learn are imparted to you as you became the Sai student, and then your journey began at the proximity of the Lord, your journey basking in the divine physical proximity, and the lessons now became different. You had your own tests, and these tests became testimonies of His grace. So in your 11th and 12th, you learned the value of patience, you learned the value of surrender. I think some of the life-defining moments happened in those two formative years, especially the days in the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School. I think you went on to do your BCom, Bachelor's in Commerce in Bhagwan's University, now in the Vrindavan campus, and again that was not a cakewalk. Here again you were put to test. Everything that you learnt in your 2 years of school, it was put to test. And thanks to His grace, you came out in flying colors. So let's move on from where we left off last time. You were talking about the lessons you learnt in the Vrindavan campus. So if there's anything more that you want to talk about days in Vrindavan, in the three sessions, and how it was when you left the Vrindavan campus preparing for the next leg of staying with Swami, joining the Prashantilam campus for your Master's in Financial Management. So tell us about this second part of your journey.
Okay, loving Sai Rams to Bishu and all the Sai family.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram to all. Even before I move to the next leg, I'm reminded of two vivid experiences which are very profound, because that put the next level of what was to come in future. The one was, I remember precisely 10th of February 1997 was a date when I was in my first year of BCom in Vrindavan, and we had come to Prashantilam for Mahashivratri. And while coming during that particular period, during Darshan, I got up, and I was by then around 18 years of age. So parents were saying that it's time that, you know, you should do your thread ceremony, being Brahmins. So I was adamant. I said, no, if everything Swami has taken care, you should do my thread ceremony. So that was my kind of, you know, very keen interest. So they said, since you are there, you speak to Swami, and if Swami blesses you, nothing like it. So that's how I got up in the one particular darshan. It was 10th of Feb 1997. And I just actually literally stopped him in the darshan line and I said, Swami, I want you to do my thread ceremony. And he just looked at me and said, thread ceremony after examinations. That these are only two statements or two lines, he said, thread ceremony after examinations. And then he went. So this was, I'm sorry, this is, I stand corrected. This was in my end of my 12th standard, not BCom.
Okay.
So I'm taking few steps before, because 97 March I passed out my board exams. So 10th of Feb 97 was the just fag end of my 12th standard. And so I thought maybe after 12th standard board exam, Swami is telling that he will do my thread ceremony. So I said, fine, maybe he wants us to. So I waited for the board exams to get over and I came to Vrindavan. Nothing happened. To be honest, even it slipped my mind. And because it was parents who were pushing me that you should ask, and our focus is completely on Swami. So thread ceremony went in the cold storage. I didn't even remember, and neither nothing happened after that. But exactly 3 years later, 10th of Feb, year 2000.
Yes.
Thread ceremony did happen after the examinations.
Okay. Yeah. I remember Swami performed the Mass Upanayanam.
Swami performed the Mass Upanayanam in year Prashantilam. And that time I was in my third year BCom. honors, and we had come from Vrindavan to do this. And why it is special? Because he said thread ceremony after examinations in 1997 on the same date, and 3 years later on the same date of 10th of Feb, he did Mass Upanayanam for all the boys. And it was exactly after examinations, because 9th of Feb, we had finished the CIE exam in Vrindavan. And 9th evening, we traveled to Prashandalam, and 10th morning was the Upanayanam.
Wow.
So, remember his when he says something, it has tremendous value.
You know, as you say CIE, the full form is Continuous Internal Evaluation, right?
Yes.
And I think, you know, our Continuous Internal Evaluation is happening all the time. as you joined BCom, as you went through BCom, I think tests were happening in your life at every instance, isn't it? I think that was one of the toughest phases of your life in Vrindavan.
Yeah,
and Swami
absolutely.
Was not talking to you
when
the way
Swami
you
was putting me in cold storage completely.
The way you got into Vrindavan campus itself. So there was this examinations happening. There was this continuous internal evaluation which was happening, which he was doing. And perhaps at one point in time, he wanted to give some results.
Yeah. That's a well thought of, because my thought was predominantly on the exam, but I think very nicely put, because yes, after 12th board exam, I went through a massive examination, as which we narrated in the previous section, and then obviously 3 years of cold storage. But
yes,
he was mentioning in the backdrop about he was inquiring about me to my batchmate.
Mm.
So he knew everything, he was monitoring it, but obviously he was not coming out in the public.
Mm.
And exactly after 3 years, I got through my thread ceremony done, and exactly by Swami. So, you know, that was a very vivid memory which happened. And in between, this was again end of second year BCom. So this is somewhere around 1999 sometime. I still remember during this same cold storage period. And there is a reason why Swami puts cold storage, other than, you know, the significance of ensuring that you remain in the mind, the most important person in his mind to avoid.
Yeah.
I was obviously desperate, so I kept on trying to attract his attention, and I got away with a big card.
Mm.
I was sitting on the third block, the first line, and Swami was coming out from the, it was morning darshan time, and Vrindavan boys were allowed to have darshan because morning classes, Prashandalam boys were going, and Vrindavan had in the afternoon.
Yes.
So morning darshan, when Swami just came out after the interview, he straight away, as he floats in the air, he just came straight to the third block. And I was sitting with the card right wide open, so it was quite attractive for him to kind of look at. And then he called me. So in the cold storage period, he called me. Mm-hmm. So that was an achievement by itself. But he called me, looked at my card, and I was obviously, it has the mention of, you know, please look at me, talk to me, whatever. During the cold storage, he doesn't talk. So I was trying to get his attention on that. He looked at it nicely and very sternly looked into my eyes, and he said, "Physical closeness not important."
Mm-hmm.
These are his exact words in English.
Mm.
Physical closeness, not important. So, and once you are in that ignorant mind and desperate situation, I ended up arguing with him, saying that, "No, Swami, it is important." So that's what ignorant, you don't know whom you're talking to. You're just simply telling that I want, because I desperately wanted
it. Desperately wanted chances.
Yeah, so that's why I said, "No, Swami, it is important." So he again looked at me and said, "Physical closeness, not important." And then he continued, he just looked into my eyes and said, "Empty heart." Just two words, empty heart.
Okay.
So again behind, there was few boys. So he looked at those boys and said, "Empty heart." So one after, for five times he repeated, "Empty heart, empty heart, empty heart." And then he walked away. So I didn't realize what that empty heart meant. Do I need to empty the heart or need to fill the heart? What it meant, I had no idea. But this is a message he left me with. See, many times what happens is, Swami doesn't give you all answers immediately. He sows the seeds, which subsequently in your life, it sprouts and you get to know, okay, this is what he meant. So that was a sowing of the seed, and I didn't understand. I ruminated for long, but nothing came to me. So I was kind of quiet and waiting for the answers to come. 13 years later, that is 2 years back, not 13, 15 years later, because I was in graduation time then. 15 years later, 2015, exactly 2 years back, we organized the Samarpan sessions in Mumbai. So one of the speakers came and he was narrating about the experiences. And during his experiences, he made this very clear reference that we need to empty the heart so that Swami can come and recite. If your heart is full of desires, of aspirations and ambitions about the world and attachments towards the world, where is a place for Swami to come? That was a very clear statement made in one of the Samarpan speeches. That, and then it struck me. It like a bolt from the blue, and it just came, and everything was very clear to me now. What he meant then, that I needed to empty my heart. And this is very, because if you connect the two statements, physical closeness is not important.
Yes.
And you need to empty the heart. Because spiritual closeness is going to be forever.
Only when you empty your heart can spiritual closeness
happen.
Closenesses be experienced.
Absolutely.
Otherwise you cannot experience spiritual
Absolutely.
Closeness.
No. Otherwise you are only looking at Swami in a physical frame. And today after Mahasamadhi we realize how important it is to empty the heart and actually be physically close to him, spiritually close to him. So the seed sown then, now I got the answer, and now it is more having profound meaning.
Yes.
That you need to empty the heart so that you can actually have Swami coming to you.
In fact, you know, one Swami said to one student that before I leave, I will prepare each one of you and only then leave. Okay, this happened in 2003. And actually, when I think about that and what he said to you, it was part of that process of preparing each individual. He was preparing you from then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. That is how, because what happens is he forces you not to be, you know, be close to the form. Because his physical is not important. And obviously he continued to
Unless he had withdrawn himself physically, he would have never ever even, you know, done that introspection or internalization, whatever you did during a BCom days, isn't it? Because all that, otherwise you would have all the time only wanted one more picture with Swami, one more Padmaskaram with Swami.
Which would have been very temporary. So he wanted to give something that is permanent. And I was sticking to the temporary thing. So, which is very, very, at that time, obviously at that moment you don't realize, but subsequently now I really get the value of what he said. So, that's
I think
message.
This sort of sums up everything that was happening in Vrindavan. I feel this experience is such a profound moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, sometimes cold storage is very important and useful and
for very warm lessons of life.
Because then what happens, once you're forced to not to see his form,
yes,
and either way in Vrindavan we don't get darshans every day,
yes,
so you ended up imagining him.
Yes.
So, once you start imagining, imagination is always, you know, you're free to imagine whatever you want.
Yes.
So, I have even seen some of the clippings of Swami where Swami says, whenever you want, you think of me, I'm next to you.
Yes.
So, imagination, nothing but thinking about.
Yes.
And not only that, if you have developed the connectivity, then you can listen to his voice as well.
Yes.
So, that was like he's forcing, you know, one way to for me to kind of start imagining him and see him in different light. And a permanent Swami was, you know, kind of being created next to me.
Yes.
Which today obviously is very vivid and very clear and, you know, not unseen. Now his seen hands are seen everywhere.
So that's
one very critical experience which I thought we all of us, it's a message for all of us.
Yes.
That we must look at spiritual form of Swami, not physical. So, those are the two, three, many small episodes.
I know every day with Avatar.
Yeah, there's something, everything is new.
Unexpected and
everything is new. So, there's one day, one particular day when he came out in the morning darshan and he was looking at all the boys. And he just happened to pick two, three of them. And I asked myself, why not me? You know, everywhere you want to show your face to him. So, he was not kind of looking at me at all. And then suddenly he pointed a finger at me and then actually I was picked. So that was suddenly it came as a surprise to me, and then I was picked, and he called me in the front and he looked at straight deep into my eyes and he gave a beautiful smile. And see, when he sees into your eyes, it's not just a casual look.
Yeah.
He's trying to change the structure inside you, or, you know, your circumstances or your karmas or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, his every look, and so deep look, has a lot of significance.
Yes.
So those are the things, you know, when the garage in the car is in a garage, which is supposed to be repaired, and it is on a side. The small things happen.
Yes.
So it's not complete cold storage, but there are small, you know, chinks which he ensures that it is done. And then obviously suppose you have painted a new car, you will allow it to get dried. So till that time you will not touch, except you go and see whether it is happening. So this is what has happened.
Yeah.
In Vrindavan days, he had kept me aside, but he was keeping a watch.
Yes.
Either by telling me directly, looking at into my eyes, or telling my batchmate that I know everything about him, or telling about me to other senior devotees that I know this boy came from this is what he did. So ensuring that it is the touch is on,
ensuring that you know, you're getting the lesson, because you know in fact if you think from Swami's point of view, just like a mother, you know, when a mother awards the child feels bad, yes, but the amount of pain that the mother goes through is actually much more.
Absolutely.
The mother has much more pain, not been able to talk to the child, then what the child feels, you know, the child will probably will feel, okay, and the mother is not in a great mood today, you know, okay, fine, leave it. But the mother will keep feeling, why this? she will be waiting, eager, when can I again talk to him? But she doesn't want to talk because, you know, she wants,
to drive a lesson.
Drive a lesson. She wants some growing process to happen. So I think that was a phase where, you know, Swami was putting you. You were thinking Swami is putting me through something. But what Swami put himself through was, I think it's perhaps much more greater and much more painful. And that's the reason why, and just so that everything does not go futile, he was ensuring that, you know, he was sending these messages through friends, you know, through other instances indirectly, so just so that you're on the track, just so that you're getting the lessons, you know, so the time is not lost, effort is not gone in vain. Wonderful. So, after that, you moved to Prashanthi Nilayam, right? I hope Prashanthi Nilayam campus entrance was not as dramatic as the 11th and the BCom entrance was.
Entrance was not dramatic, but entry was dramatic.
Oh, so again? Okay, fantastic.
So entrance went on. So we came, obviously, all of us came. All my batchmates from BCom applied for the MBA. And we all came to Prashanthi Nilayam from Vrindavan for entrance test. And some very bright boys were there. I mean, so really good in studies and been here for almost like first standard onwards. 15, 20 years kind of they spent in Prashanthi Nilayam. And we were all sitting waiting for the shortlist result after the entrance test. And most of us sitting in the old boys hostel, you know, where we were given temporary accommodation. And one brother came running after seeing the result. And we all were sitting next to each other waiting for the results to be announced. So this brother comes and, you know, pinpoints everybody. You. Okay, your name is there. When that finger, when he was pointing finger and telling, when that finger pointed to me, he ignored that. And he just told the other boy, you are there. So that completely, my heart was in my mouth. Means everybody, he said, yes. And at me, when he pointed the finger, he just kept quiet. So I was worried, obviously. So I immediately ran to the college to see the results. The fag end below my name existed. So that was a relief. And throughout, it was not there, but towards the end, it was there.
Mm.
So fortunately, I cleared the first hurdle. Nothing more dramatic other than this.
Mm.
However, the interview went on smoothly. Everything went on nicely and results were awaited. I was immediately back in Vrindavan where Swami was giving 3 sessions. So entrance happened in Prashanthi Nilayam and then so we went to Vrindavan for darshans and 3 sessions. I still remember the date also. This was 8th of May 2000 to be exact. In that 3 session, I was sitting in the outside central hall, not the central, outside veranda kind of place, and I was towards the fag end.
The jhula room.
Jhula room where Swami sits. So Swami generally comes to the central hall and comes and sits on the jhula, and near the jhula, before he sat, he was just standing and he pointed a finger towards my side. So there's so many boys, at least there must be at least 100 boys in front of me.
Yeah.
So when he points a finger, you don't know it at whom it is.
Hmm.
So we were just looking at it, and then Swami mentioned you, means I could hear you as a word. And so when the pointing was more clearer, it almost felt that it's towards the fag end of the room where we were standing. So I looked behind and there was nobody. I was the last man standing there. And then Swami said, spectacle boy.
Hmm.
So I was, you know, wearing spectacles. So when he says spectacle boy, so there was one more boy next to me was also wearing spectacles. So I looked at him and said, nothing, Swami is talking about you. So then Swami realized that there's a confusion there. So then to make it very specific, he said, you spectacle boy. It was very loudly said.
Mm.
The moment he said that, and it was very clear that it was pointing towards me. And then the moment I realized that he's talking to me, talking about me, he looked at the warden and the principal there and then just told him, okay, this boy has got admission.
Oh,
so this was before the results were announced, by the way.
Wow.
So Chancellor was announcing the results before the official results were announced. So he did for 2-3 boys during that particular session, but it was like some of them were sitting in the central hall, but 2-3 boys, but towards the last, you know, I was one of the persons whom he said. So when he said this boy is selected, and then immediately after the session, a lot of people smiled and some of them clapped, so I could sense something good. Honestly, I had no idea what he spoke because I was towards the fag end. So I was desperately waiting for the session to get over and move out and see what did he say. And then obviously the principal called me and said, Swami was very happy and he said, you got the admission. So I said, wow, that's nice. I mean, it was like Swami telling you
like
that
Swami
you got
to be, Swami is more eager to announce
than anything else. So he's telling entry. Very clearly that you got admission. So that was very special. And this was 8th of May. 9th of May, results were announced. Okay, it came on the board and everywhere it was. So I had applied for MBA. And that time there was a course called MFM, Masters in Financial Management. So they had placed me in MFM. Okay, for Swami, the difference doesn't exist. He calls it everybody as MBA boys. But, you know, the small mind or the ignorant mind, so when finance was something which I never wanted to do.
Really?
Yeah. So I had developed a liking towards marketing. So as a subject, I said, no, I've master's in finance means there is completely my career going to be in finance, and which I don't want to be. So you see how small mind or ignorant mind does it work. 9th of May, when I saw the result, I was crestfallen. So 8th of May was elation when Swami himself is telling you, and then the mind takes over and tells you that no, you are in a wrong place. 10th of May, 9th of May, when the results were announced, I called my parents and said, I was very dejected at why I got finance and all. Obviously, today it looks like a terrible thought even to have. When God has chosen you, finance, marketing, HR, how does it matter? But that time, you know, the things were very, my mind was working in a very different, ignorant mind. So I called my parents and said, no, I don't want to be in finance and I don't know why this is given. So they said, you talk to the principal or teachers and see if anything is possible. My mom was clear. They said, you see, Swami has told you, so you should. Then my dad was more balanced. He said, you decide. It's your career where you want to do. So I was in contemplation mode and whom to ask. I can't ask a chancellor and vice chancellor about all this. So I just kept quiet. And my dad even said, if you're really, really worried and you can't, you know, work on this, you want to come back to Mumbai, I'll leave the choice to you. So I actually started thinking,
really,
of moving off, out of.
Because I can't believe that.
Yeah. So after all that, what I told you, you see how the terrible mind works.
How mind can play tricks.
How mind
us.
Can play. So this was 10th of May, next day. Throughout the day, I was a bit tense.
Because you're someone who in your 11th class gave up your dreams of becoming an orthopedic surgeon, and you said, I will do commerce because I can stay 7 years with Swami. And 5 years down the line, you're thinking that, you know, what is this? I'm getting finance, I want to do marketing, and you want to leave Swami.
So, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, today it looks terrible. Means when I even narrate you, I'm feeling terrible that what thoughts I had. Forget what happened later, but what thoughts I had got. But I'm candidly saying
that is how it is. You know, I mean, that is how tricky the spiritual path is, and that's why one has to be always on the guard, as Bhagwan says. You have to be always alert because you don't know from which height you can fall at any point in time in the spiritual.
It's like a snake and ladder. Yeah. You know, suddenly you are on the through the ladder, you are on the top, and you see the snake. And so mind is at play, and it is terrible. You know, when you go through this, it looks unbelievable. Even I got such thoughts, but I was contemplating on 10th of May morning. I was in tensed mode, and what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Then 10th of May evening, thrice session. Swami knows everything. Okay, so I'm telling you how he'll know, how he knows everything. Why is he God again? So God is at play. He gave the admission. It is his decision. This terrible mind thinks that he has been put in finance by the people and he don't want to go. So contemplation of going back to Mumbai, or, you know, even thought of going to Mumbai came in. And evening try session on 10th of May, I get quite a close seat in front of the jula. So I think just two boys, and then I was behind the third boy from the jula. So it was very close, and you could see Swami face to face. And Swami started giving discourse. It depends. Sometimes he gives, sometimes he tells people. But that day he chose two women. Nobody spoke. Swami just took the mic and started speaking. Entire discourse, he stared at me and spoke. Entire discourse. He was directly looking at me. He didn't look anywhere else. Entire discourse, obviously, I can't narrate, but a very, very important thing he mentioned, which completely changed my life. He looked into my eyes and said, he was telling to the audience, but the message was very clear to me. He told, imagine a train journey. Okay, Swami always explains the concept through examples. A train journey is there. One father is there. There are few children. So what happens? Children are small. So father gets the tickets and keeps with him. So the children are traveling. Suddenly one child feels that he wants to get down on one station. What will happen? Then he stopped. Okay, rhetorical question. So then he answers, if you get down in between the station, one of the stations, your ticket is with your father, and you get down in between, then you're caught by the TC. Then you don't know whom to look up to, because your father has continued in the journey, and then you'll be left alone in the station. So what are you supposed to do? Have faith in father and travel with him, because he has your ticket. This is a very clear message. I guess you got what I'm saying.
Yes, my ticket was with him. Yes.
I was the same idiotic child or whatever. I'm openly using this word because I was an idiot then. I was planning to get down in between. And there was a very clear message which Swami said, ki your ticket is in my hands. If you get down in between,
yes,
then obviously you will be trapped, and then you don't know whom to look up to.
Yes.
So don't get down. Be in the same train and go with your father. And after that discourse, and he's looking into my eyes and telling this. So there's nothing
and
more.
That day you got this message.
Straight. Very, very clear. It was so straight he was telling. And I was like almost in tears because I know he's talking about my situation.
I mean, he was literally looking at you and figuratively straight.
Absolutely. And he was very, very strictly saying.
Sternly.
Sternly message was very clear. I mean, see, come what may, you are not getting down from the station. And getting down from the train. That was a clear message. After that, after the discourse, I came back. I was very quiet. I came back to hostel and I just ruminated. I called my parents and I said, this is what happened. And Swami gave entire discourse looking at me, and this is what specifically he said. So now, if at all I leave this place, unless I die, I'm not going to leave this place. So my dead body will go or I'll not go. There's only two things.
Wow.
Whatever it takes. Because now, see, when he's telling my ticket, is now it is his responsibility. So whatever he has to put me through, it's okay. So these are the words I told him on the phone. I said, whatever it is, now I'm not going to leave. Even if it is the worst pain that, you know, I don't like the subject and I flunk also, that is his problem. But ticket is with him. So that gave me solace come strength that now I'm taken care of. And directly by him, there is no dream or, you know, interpretation or something like that. It is straight. So if that is the case, I said, so I took that call on 10th night that whatever it takes, this is it. And then obviously once you start accepting, things become a little easier.
Yes.
No doubt first 6 months of my MFM was very, very tough. Means subjects were very difficult for me to absorb, and you know, I was feeling, where am I? And you know, the mind, to silence the mind is not easy. So it continues to pop up and disturb you all the time. But that resolve was there, that always I remembered this discourse, that he has said this, so I'm not going to leave. 6 months went on tough. After 6 months, we had one professor here, expert in finance, and he taught so very well that I fell in love with the subject.
Wow.
Dramatic change. Means he made it so easy, so simple and so interesting that I fell in love with it. I said, this is it. Means then I stuck to finance. I said, nothing doing. Probably what my small mind couldn't see the future, and he knows what the best is. So from that perspective, from there, it dramatically changed. And fortunately, I could complete my 2 years comfortably well. And everything else followed after that. So during that phase of, 2 years of master's in finance, several small things happened. And one important thing that happened was I spoke again in Kulwanthal. That was in the end of first year of master's degree. That is 25th of Feb, 2001. The exact time in the evening, and I was sitting in the third block. And those days, Swami used to, Swami used to walk and come to the chair which was kept, and he used to go and sit there. So as he came and sat there, he straight looked up to me and he just pointed a finger to get up. So I got up and then he said, go and speak. So I was obviously ready. It was something, because the trend in those days was, you know, you need to be ready with your speech whenever he calls you. So I was ready. And this time there was no fear, because I've gone through all the grind and whatever accessories are fitted. It's now he's trying to see whether the accessory works properly. So that is the stage of life. And then I spoke 3-4 experiences of my own.
Okay.
My first speech was about copy paste from Swami's discourse. Now there are enough things that I had learned. So I was trying to share my personal learnings with the audience.
Yes.
So there was no copy paste anywhere. It was coming from the heart. And one of these, that camera roll experience which I mentioned, that is what I mentioned in front of him as well. And during that speech, you know, Anil Kumar sir was sitting next to Swami, and then Swami was all the time talking about me to him. That is what he told me later on. And he was very happy. Again, he is talking about my entire background to him. So again and again, he is trying to say that I know everything about you. And Anil Kumar sir obviously came up and told me afterwards that, you know, Swami is so happy and Swami told everything about what all happened in your life. So it was like a reconfirmation. But that happened after the entire session got over. After my speech, as I went to Swami, moved to Swami for his Pad Namaskar, he gave the Namaskar and then he kept his hand on my shoulder. He asked me, he told me very clearly, I know you are from primary school, then you came to higher secondary school, so entire thing repeated. And now, what are you studying? He asked me. So I told him, as if he doesn't know. Now, he only, a year back, he gave me the admission, he told all this. So I told him, Master's in Finance. Oh, finance management karta hai. These are his words. Yeah. As if he's surprised, oh, you've become, you're doing. Then he asked me, what is your age? So I said, 21 years. So he said, so big you became. So he was like surprised, as if, you know, he doesn't know. That is how he, see, these are the things he tries to give us joy more than anything else. So then he actually took me next to him. I was kneeling down. He was sitting on the chair. And Swami kept his hand on my shoulder and took next to him. So now both of us are facing the audience.
Wow.
And the boys on third block. And then Swami told the boys everywhere, see, this boy came in primary school. He came in higher secondary school. Now he has become so big. Abhi finance management karta hai. Bahut bada ho gaya hai. So these are his words he was telling. He's him. Like so as if he's introducing me to the audience. And I was little, obviously you feel little jittery that, you know. And Swami was like all the while. And I could see his joy. Means the happiness was not about a speech, but...
But I think it was about, joy. You know, how you have grown perhaps, you know. So many lessons that he's been trying to teach you all this while, in this 5-6 years that you've been there. And perhaps, you know, a mother feels so happy when you when she feels that this fellow has finally learned something.
So that was like, I could sense there was pride in his face, on his face and smiles and... And Anil Kumar sir was later on saying, Swami was happy because you're telling your own personal experience, your own convictions.
Exactly. So some things have got instilled in you, no? Ultimately, all that effort that Swami put in.
So he was now seeing the returns on investment coming.
Yes.
But then still, the test continues later on also.
Of course.
But that was very vivid memory I have and very special one because of when you make Swami happy and he actually expresses his joy was very different. So that was end of first year. End of second year in gratitude program, again I got a chance to speak, but that was like in between the songs. And actually I spoke in Gujarati because I knew the language and they wanted a variety. So I spoke in Gujarati and like Swami was immediately staring at me, what this fellow is all about. So, but it was very nice and then we got group photographs with Swami. And so that was the almost towards the end of my second year. But one important, there's a link. See, Swami doesn't leave abruptly anything. And an important point which probably I'll make a mention towards the end is once a Sai student, always a Sai student. It's no longer you become an alumni, ex-student, that's for the world to know. Means you are passing out of institute, so you are alumnus of the institute, not alumnus of Swami.
Yes.
So that distinction has to be very clear. Why I'll tell you and how it is important for all of us. But before that, as I was passing out, we have a summer project which we had to do as part of our master's degree. And my project was on valuation of companies. And it was very looked upon because we had a very, you know, dean was the guide of the dean of the campus was the guide of this particular project. And I had a lot of practical applications. I mean, not just the theory, but I wanted to apply to companies and in their financial models. And it was finance part of it. So financial modeling was done and we were trying to apply those concepts. So real life example was being brought out. So everybody was looking up to it. And somewhere towards the 1 month before of submission, I got stuck. I mean, suddenly I got stuck and I didn't know how to proceed. And I didn't know... And just 20-25 days away, I need to submit the final report and nothing was moving anywhere.
You have not got the important data.
Data was not there and there was something missing in a sense. Some calculations were not giving us the right results and probably I was missing some variables in that. And data availability was again a little bit of an issue. And so that last leg was having a problem. So after putting all the efforts, now again, as Swami always says, put all your efforts and leave the rest to him. So after putting all the efforts, and it was coming out to be a very good project because a lot of my other batchmates were also observing it because it was actual application of the theory. And this was sometime 1 month before the submission. I was in the hostel lunchtime and one of my batchmates come running to my room and he says, your answer is here. So he gave me a report And that report had very clear, the last leg of where I was stuck. It was very clearly mentioned how to go about it and what kind of data is required to complete this analysis.
So he found this report.
Found this report in the college, which was given by one of the visiting faculties.
Okay.
It was part of the dump of that some 100 reports which are there in the library.
Hmm.
And fortunately, most of the other batchmates were like able to find, knew what project I'm working on and where I was stuck. So he pulled out that report during his search and he brought and gave it to me. And when I went through that, 2-3 times I went through it and it was very clearly mentioned about how to go about it. And actually that solved my problem. So within 10 days, my report was ready. What was supposed to be end of month. So then remaining 20 days, I was just trying to do finishing touches and all that. So report basically got through. And this same report, when I passed out and when I submitted, because I had worked on Tata Motors and Mahindra.
These
two automobile companies where the application was done. I took this report and actually handed over as a courtesy and, because I used Tata Motors data. So I said I must submit one report to them for their records. So I had submitted to them and I think within 3 months, I got a call and they said we would like to discuss this report at length.
Mm-hmm.
So 2.5-3 hours of discussion happened. And after end of entire discussion, the person whom I was discussing with, he said, how did you get this report? So, the report which one of my batchmates had given to me, which solved my problem.
Hmm.
So, I explained to him, this is my, in our college library, we had this, several reports and I got this report and which helped me to resolve. So, he was quite pleased and he said, probably you have not seen the report well. He's the author of the report because I am the author of the report.
Oh, he was the author of the
report? He was the author of the report. So, I was like, my God, I had absolutely no idea.
That you were actually discussing with him.
So... So this is obviously way back. So after that, you pass out and then you come out. So like almost a year back this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1 year later, you're going to talk to the same person. See, nothing is coincidence. You imagine the same person coming there. And this man whom I'm talking with had just joined 3 months before.
Ooh.
Tata Motors. So he had called me to discuss it. And then he said about this. So he was in some other company when I got this report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was in Prashanthalam. He was somewhere else. We came together after 1 year to discuss the same report where he was the author and actually I used his analysis to complete it.
So, even when you think about it, what are the chances of, first of all, in a corporate environment, someone really looking up the report of one PhD, not even a PhD student, it's just a project report, an MBA project report of some university. It is not some Indian Institute of Management or a worldly reputed university report. I would think that generally normal course of things, a thing like that you submit, it'll just go and sit in some library and that's it. But here someone is seeing that and you have just 3 months before the person who has written the report comes and he looks at it keenly, he gets interested, he calls you. There are so many incredible things that actually, when you think about it.
That brings us together in one place. It's not, that's why it can't be a coincidence that he had to come at that time and join the company, see the report and call me at the same time and then discuss it. So it all fell in place and he liked the report and eventually he said, I would like you to join me.
Wow.
So you see how Swami arranges his job as well. So his hand, either you call it unseen, seen or out of scene or whatever, but his hand is very much there. So getting the right report at the right time, doing a project in Parthi and using that report and using that project to get a job subsequently.
That project report became a job interview.
Absolutely. So he just told me and I had not, and it was not an interview labeled as, but he was very happy with the findings. He said,
go through any process of job interview. It was just that he had a chat with you and that's it.
So obviously then he took up with HR and all that, but it was 2002 was also the time when things were, bad in the economy. So there was a hiring freeze, by the way. So no companies were hiring. However, so he said, I would like you to work with me, but give me some time because I'll have to route it through the topmost office to get approvals to recruit you in a time when the company is not hiring anybody. And so that took some time. In the meanwhile, I joined Jet Airways. So I worked on more than 10 months, I think almost a year I worked in Jet Airways. And then towards the fag end, I got a call, we got the approvals. Would you be interested in joining? So that's how I joined Tata Motors. So company job, the project, everything is done by him because he has a ticket. The father has a ticket, the son is only enjoying the journey.
And you were Swami's project. You did a small project for Tata Motors, but if you see, you have been Swami's project right from the time, you know, you came to him. I mean,
probably
even before
born.
You realized, yeah, what was happening to you. Wow.
So that's how I moved in Tata Motors, and the journey continued. The corporate world, obviously, you absorb, you had to work hard initially to, you know, kind of. So, but my company was benevolent to give me regular leave. So, I used to keep coming in Parthi to, you know, to have Swami's darshan. So, everything went on very smoothly. But that was like, I'm connecting the project report and the job. In between, obviously, I'm yet to pass out. So, let me bring you back to my second year, MA, Masters in Finance, and actually after gratitude program where I spoke in Gujarati. Then that was on 5th of March to be exact, 5th of March 2002. We had a last program in front of Swami as gratitude. For those who may not know, Prashant Nilayam has this beautiful tradition of, we don't call it farewell function, we call it gratitude program.
Yes.
Because with Swami there is no farewell. Yes. Once you are in fold of Swami, you forever, even beyond his life, we are in his fold.
Yes.
So it is just offering our gratitude to Swami that, you know, we got this opportunity to be with him. So we have a nice musical program, songs and some speeches here and there, and offering. And then Swami, with all his love, he gives us the group photographs. So that is a gratitude program we had on 5th of March 2002. 31st March is the last paper, and then 1st April onwards, you are actually passed out. So after that, obviously, we all went to, some of them went home who had other engagements. Some of them applied for jobs. A lot of us went to Vrindavan because we, our focus was always Swami. So jobs will come on its own. So we never bothered, honestly. We went to Vrindavan, and in month of April, 1st of, in fact, 1st of April itself, 31st March, exams got over. 1st April, we went to Vrindavan. 11th of May, to be precise, 2002, darshan time, Swami came up to me. Means darshan, I was sitting in the first line. So by that time, the cold storage had become warm storage and all that. So it was opened
up. To you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now is very much so, that all testing was done. But a new test was about to begin. So he looked at me and he said, kya pass kiya?
What did you study?
What did I study? So these are his words, kya pass kiya? Means in Hindi, he's saying, what did you study? The results are awaited, but he's asking. So I said, Swami, Masters in Finance. Finance management kiya? Jada studies achha nahi hai. Don't study further.
Oh.
Very clearly said, don't study further because too much studies is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a thought that probably I'll take up a CFA or something like that, being in finance field. But then he clearly closed it. The lid was there. Okay, that's true. Over. So then he told me, you move out and do service. So I asked him, where do I go from here? So he said Delhi to start. So moment he said Delhi, then I just, you know, alerted him that my parents are in Mumbai. So still, if he wants me to go to Delhi, fine. But then he just closed his eyes for a few seconds and then he said, go to Mumbai.
Okay.
And he immediately materialized Vibhuti and gave it to me. So, and then he told me to take Pad Namaskar. So that was 11th of May. So he is now charting my next path. So actually from there, from the institute point of view, I became an ex-student. Okay. So that's where, but from Swami's point of view, you know, he's charting my next path. So I'm continuing to be under his fold still, and maybe more now. But that was where he decided my future course of action. And either way, all my entrance were given by him. So exit also is taken care of by him. And I used to play tabla in Mandir. Okay. In during bhajans. So I got chance in, to be exact again, 23rd of August 2001, a year before, I got a chance to play tabla in Mandir. When Swami blessed me one of the darshan times and he created Vibhuti and gave it to me as a blessing to start. So as a permission.
Beautiful.
So I used to play tabla in Mandir, and every day as a musician or as a tablist, you are sitting right under his nose. Now since on 11th of May he's telling me to carry on, it doesn't look good to keep on showing your face despite that. It's like, you know, disobedience to Swami. So what I thought was, I wanted to stay a few more days or a month, few months to actually continue to play tabla and enjoy his darshan. So I wrote a long mail to him saying that. A long letter. I'm sorry, this is the modern age.
Communication lingo.
So I wrote a long letter to him, you know, explaining to him that I would like to stay for a few more days. typical like a notice period. Mm. So let me allow me to stay and I would like to play tabla and all. So
you just wanted to just be with him for much more time you anyway you have to go out sometime.
So anyway, once he has decided, and see, thing is, because he created Vibhuti, I had no option left to again bargain with him anything else.
Mm.
So Vibhuti Prasadam
almost
is...
almost like an exit.
Yeah, exit and sealed and done. It's like no further negotiation or no further opening.
Mm.
Had he would have just made a mention, then I would have probably pushed him and said... Because I had actually no thought of going out, to be honest.
Okay.
Having dreamt that to be all the time with Swami, I wanted to continue here.
I mean, so, you had almost said that, you know, either I'm here or I'm dead.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had no thought of going out. So I was hoping that he will tell me to continue here. But and he said, go out and do service. So I was still having the feeling that this was in Vrindavan. He may say, go to Parthi and do service. So that would have been even better. So, but anyway, so he created Vibhuti and he closed all negotiations or whatever discussions on it. And after that, I wrote a long letter saying that I wish to continue at least for a few months. So allow me to play tabla and I would like to have a darshan. So, and every day I was to sit in front of him. So even those days in our Prashanti Mandir, the tabla, one tabla boy and one singer is to push the footstool behind so that Swami can get up and move out from his throne. So those are the
morning
days.
Bhajans when the institute morning boys bhajans, are not yes. there. Yeah.
So I continued to do that, and obviously because the letter was written and he already knew my desire to stay for a few more months. So till August I stayed, almost 4 months. And second
beautiful
of,
time.
Beautiful, excellent time.
You don't have to do anything else, no studies.
No studies. So what I ended up doing was every morning, evening, darshan bhajan, continuing to be in mandir. And during, other than those period, obviously reading Swami's books. So nothing like it. It was the best of times I can think of. No burden, no phone calls, no mails, no jobs, no offices. Nobody to trouble you.
Yes.
So it's all about you and Swami. So it was like wonderful time.
Mm.
And obviously that exit has to come. So 2nd of August 2002 was a time when my mom also came, mother came here. So then she said, it's, you know, we can plan to move because you stayed already 5 months after Swami has said. So then I got up on that morning after bhajans. So Swami, I told Swami I'm leaving today. So he called me inside interview room. He gave me six packets of Vibhuti to be precise and gave me Pad Namaskar. And he told me many other things in Telugu, which unfortunately I couldn't understand. And he was, but I could sense he was talking about village and all those things. And there was nobody else around. So it was me and Swami in the interview room. And he was telling about village seva, this. So I could, whatever few words I could pick. And then suddenly looked at me and he said, carry on and you do well, do service, you know, do good service, manchi service, there are his words.
Mm.
So I just told him, you be with me.
Mm.
So he said, I am always with you, in you, above you, below you. Now, a normal devotee or normal, any of us will take it very casually. These are Swami's standard words and our standard thing that, you know, you be with me. It's all for all mental satisfaction, we say. But Swami was serious on it because once I told him that and he said, I'm always with you. So I took that as a blessing and came back. Didn't even bother to think deep about it at all. So second evening, I took an overnight train to Mumbai, came back on third. Third night was my first night ever in Mumbai back as an ex-student now. So ex-student from college. So then that night, I got a dream. I got a dream and in the same house where I was staying, Swami enters that house and Swami says, this is the bedroom I'm going to use. So very clearly made a mention, this is the bedroom where I'll be staying and I'm going to use. And it has an attached washroom and all that. So very clearly he walks into the house and he says, so that very clear dream I got. And when I woke up in the morning, see the first night, it's not second, third, fourth night. The very first night when I came to Mumbai, this was the experience. So it clearly says that when Swami means, Swami says something, he means. He clearly says that, you know, this is the place I want to be. And he actually came with me to Mumbai. So that's why I said I'm ex-student of institute, but not with Swami. So the saga continued. And obviously there,
I think what he told you in the interview room, I'm there in you, with you.
In you, yeah.
He just wanted that this whole concept should be instilled in you, should just get established in you before you step out into the corporate world perhaps.
So that's what, none of his words are very casual. No, we may think out of our context because we are casual, so we think Swami also is casual. It's not that way. And every word has his. So when he said this very clearly that I am with you in you, and actually followed up with a dream, very clearly said that this is the room I am going to stay. So obviously then the journey began, and it was not an easy thing because after such a wonderful heaven, you are coming to a concrete jungle of Mumbai, where everybody is commercial minded, everybody wants money, there is no, you know, love. Everything was material love, in the sense, yes, okay, I'll do something for you, so you should you are supposed to do something for me. So it is like, yeah, conditional,
yes,
love. So from unconditional love of Swami, you go into the conditional love of the world.
Mm.
It is not easy at all. But it took few months for me to settle down. Mm. Then I joined this Jet Airways and I moved to Tata Motors.
Mm.
Tata Motors, obviously, I narrated how,
yes,
it got through. And eventually, middle of, I think I moved to Treasury from where I was in Tata Motors. So two departments. I joined Investor Relations under this author whose report I had used.
Mm-hmm.
He was heading the Investor Relations, and then I moved to Treasury, and then I went out of the company because I had dreamt to become an equity analyst. So I joined Edelweiss Capital as an automotive equity analyst.
So from an orthopedic surgeon, now your dream had changed to become an equity analyst. That's quite a change,
yeah,
after,
yeah,
you fell and in love
between,
with finance.
Even before I fell in love with finance, I wanted a marketing.
Yeah,
so from orthopedic surgeon to marketing to finance and from there to equity analyst. So it is completely... But one common thread among all this was Swami.
Yes, absolutely.
The goal was the same,
I mean,
and everything else changes. So finally I moved into that. And that's why it's always said, man proposes, God disposes. Let Swami decide where we want to be.
Mm.
We have no business to decide our own future, especially when you're surrendered to Him.
Mm.
So it is His job, and the ticket is with Him. So let him plan the journey the way He wants. So finally, I moved to Edelweiss Capital as equity analyst. And I joined in a very interesting period of 2008 financial crisis.
Hmm.
So just before the financial crisis hit, sometime in September 2008, I joined in April, May 2008 to be exact. And I saw the financial crisis hit right in front of me. People around me lost jobs, and it was a very tough time. And Swami always gives you, you know, He prepares you if there is a calamity coming. So, in my case, I had got a dream at least a month before where I saw a tsunami coming. So, massive tsunami coming, huge, you know, meters of waves coming and, you know, literally pulling everything under it till it comes to me and it stops.
Oh.
So, I saw that vision or the dream in, you know, and next morning there's nothing as yet. There's no crisis as yet. It's before, 1 month before the crisis hit. So, sometime in August kind of. I saw this and I said, dreams, such a kind of dream you would never imagine also. But it came, so I forgot about it. I said, TK, it is there, back of the mind it was there. Then financial crisis came in September. October went out. November 8th was a day when 300 people in our company were asked to leave. Because we are a financial service company and financial service crisis was across the world. There was a financial crunch everywhere and the entire thing went for a toss. So world markets were down and obviously the revenues dropped and the cost became very difficult to bear for the company. So they were letting people go. Everybody around me like were one by one were moving out kind of. And somehow it came to me and it stopped. So the tsunami. So the tsunami was this actually, you know, it came through. And I was asked to look at another division of the company, which I was not interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But TK, to return the job.
So they didn't fire you, but they relocated you.
Kind of. So that is where it's like a fine, you sustain. So at least my salary was on, but I had to move to some other place. Now, the problem was obviously that area was not that lucrative. So I started thinking that probably it's time that before something further negative happens, because that particular phase was such, nobody knew where the future is.
Mm.
It was going down and down and down. So it can happen to me as well, if not now, in future. So I started searching for, started thinking, should I apply somewhere and what should I do? And that was the time when I got a call from the CFO of Tata Motors.
Of Tata Motors?
Yeah, Tata Motors CFO. And apparently as Swami says, you know, you should maintain good relationship with all. Let us not fight with anybody and create any issues. So I had, fortunately, everybody was in, had good time with everybody. So, even when I left Tata Motors, the same CFO was not very happy. He said, you should consider to come back. But already it was like 1 day before the joining date of the next company. So, I had moved out by that time. But he called up and he said...
Out of the blue, he called you.
Yeah, because we were in touch with each other.
Yes.
It's not there was a complete break in between. Yeah. But he said, why don't you come over and meet me? So, this was so my new office or the previous Edelweiss office was like a couple of buildings away. So, I just walked down and he says, HR head is also there. Why don't you meet her as well, this lady? and why don't you consider joining back? So I said, what options I have got? So then HR lady, he just created that path for me. I said, you speak to HR and it should be done. So I spoke to the HR lady. She said, we have got three opportunities for you. So you pick and choose which you want. So there was, I joined, that's how I picked up market research, because that was the most exciting at that point of time. And I had no interviews, absolutely. I just walked in. So that's how actually Swami takes care. You know, when you are in a bad situation, or when the tsunami is everywhere and he wants to save you, he just makes the path easy for you to come back. And no interviews, nothing. So within a couple of days, I got my offer letter and then I joined. So saga actually continues. You know, there is still, we may always say that these are all coincidences. It doesn't happen that easily. You know, difficult times also are taken care of by him, because again, ticket is with him.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Vaikeguru, Vaikeguru ji bolo. Vaikeguru, Vaikeguru ji bolo. Satyanam ji bolo. Satyanam bolo. Satyanam ji bolo. Nitya nityan japiye tere naam ji bolo. Nitya nityan japiye tere naam ji bolo. Satyanam ji bolo. Satyanam ji bolo. Ram ji bolo. Bolo Rama ji bolo. Satyanam ji bolo. Satyanam. Krishna ji bolo. Krishna ji bolo. Krishna nitya japiye Krishna naam ji bolo. Nitya japiye hari ji bolo. Bolo hari ji bolo. Satyanam ji bolo. Satyanam ji bolo. Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai. Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai. Radha Ramana Hari Govind jai jai. Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai. Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai. Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai. Bolo Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai. Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai. Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai. Radha Ramana Hari Govind jai jai. Vaheguru ji bolo. Vaheguru bolo. Vaheguru ji bolo. Satyanam ji bolo. Satyanam. Satyanam ji bolo. Satyanam. Satyanam.
Ekumkar Satyanam Karta Purak Nirpar Nirvair Akal Murat
अजोनी से भंग गुरु प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच।
Jai Jai Gopal Jai Jai Govind Jai Jai Gopal Jai Jai Govind. హరి గోవింద జయ జయ రాఘవన హరి గోవింద జయ జయ గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల
ప్యార కితనా
Sagar
ಸರಿನೇರೆ ಸದನಿ ಸಗಮದ ಮರೆ ಸಗರಿನೇರೆ ಸದನಿ ಸಗಮದ ಮರೆ ಸಗರಿನೇರೆ ಸದನಿ ಸಗಮದ ಮರೆ ಗಮ ಪದ ಪದಮ ಪ ಗಮ ಸಗ ಪ ಗಮನಿ ದನಿ ಸದನಿ ಪದ ಗಮನಿ ಗಮದನಿ ದನಿ ದನಿ ಕಾಮಸ್ತಂಭ ಸೂತ್ರಮು ಭಾರದ್ವಾಜಸ ಗೋತ್ರಮು ಆಪಸ್ತಂಭ ಸೂತ್ರಮು ಭಾರದ್ವಾಜಸ ಗೋತ್ರಮು ಸಕಲ ದೇವತಾರೂಪಮು ರತ್ನಾಕರ ವಂಶಮು ಸಾಯಿ ಬಾಬನು ನೀವು ಸಾಯಿ ಬಾಬ ಅನು ನೀವು ಜೀವುಲ ಪ್ರೋಚೆ ದೇವುಡು ನೀವು ಬರ್ತಿಲೋ ಸಿನ ಸತ್ಯಮು ನೀವು ನೀವುಲ ಪ್ರೋಚೆ ದೇವುಡು ನೀವು ಬರ್ತಿಲೋ ಸಿನ ಸತ್ಯಮು ನೀವು ಆಪಸ್ತಂಭ ಸೂತ್ರಮು ಭಾರದ್ವಾಜಸ ಗೋತ್ರಮು ಸಲ ಕೊಕ್ಕ ಕುಲ್ಕಿ ಪಲ್ಕೆ ಗಾನಿ ಕೀಟು ಮಾಟಲ ಕೋಟಿ ನೇರಡಿತಳು ಸಿಚ್ಚಿದನು ಪ್ರೇಮ ಮಾಡಲಾಡು ಕಾನಿ ಪೂರ್ತಿ ಮಾಡಲು ಬಲು ಕಡೆ ಕೊಡು ಪೂರ್ತಿ ಮಾಡಲು ಬಲು ಕಡೆ ಕೊಡು ಆಪಸ್ತಂಭ ಸೂತ್ರಮು ಭಾರದ್ವಾಜಸ ಗೋತ್ರಮು ಸಾಗರೀಗ ಸಾಮ ಗಾಮ ಸಾಮ ಮಾಮ ಗಮನಿ ಗಮನ ಸಾಗರೀಗ ರೀಗ ಸಾಮ ಗಾಮ ಗಮ ಸಾಮ ಮಾಮ ಗಮನಿ ಗಮನ ಸಾಗರೀಗ ಸಾಮ ಗಾಮ ಸಾಮ ಮಾಮ ಸಾಮ ಮಾಮ ಗಮನಿ ಗಮನ ಸಾಗರೀಗ ಸಾಮ ಗಾಮ ಸಾಮ ಮಾಮ ಸಾಮ ಮಾಮ ಗಮನಿ ಗಮನ ಸಾಗರೀಗ ಸಾಮ ಗಾಮ ಸಾಮ ಮಾಮ ಸಾಮ ಮಾಮ ಗಮನಿ ಗಮನ ಕನಯದಾರ್ಥಟ ತಾನು ತಪ್ಪಗ ಚನುಗಾನಿ ಕನಯದಾರ್ಥಟ ತಾನು ತಪ್ಪಗ ಚನುಗಾರಿ ಎದುಟಿ ತಪ್ಪುಲ ಬಾಬಾ ಎಂದಲೇಡು ಕಲ್ಲ ಕಪಟಾಲು ತಿಳಿಯನಿ ಅಂದರಿ ಬಾಡು ಎಲ್ಲ ಜೀವುಲ ತನವಲೇಂಚು ಬಾಡು ಕಲ್ಲ ಕಪಟಾಲು ತಿಳಿಯನಿ ಅಂದರಿ ಬಾಡು ಎಲ್ಲ ಜೀವುಲ ತನವಲೇಂಚು ಬಾಡು
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday.